Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Fourth and final hour. Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game on this Monday afternoon. Here in a beautiful, beautiful day here in Nashville. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Chase McCabe has the week off. A much needed break for him. He'll be back with us Monday after the Titans-Colts game on Sunday. What in the world will we be talking about a week from today? Our good friend Trey Wingo is on the line with us at Wingo Z, or is it Wing Oz? I don't know, but more importantly, on Twitter, he is just over 7,000 followers away from being at 1 million. 1 million people. I just want to know, Trey, how are you going to get there? We need you to get to 1 million followers. That would be cool.
Well, it's funny. I've actually crossed 1 million twice. Like, once it happened, and then there's this big Twitter purge, and I lost, like, 50,000, I guess, bots or whatever. So I got it back up again, and then they did another one, and it was not as bad, but I lost a few. So that's the worst part. I've been there twice, and it's like, wait, what happened?
We've all had that fantasy guy, right? A running back that gets – he's at 101 yards or 102 yards late in the game, and you're like, yes! And your league maybe has that bonus for getting to 100 yards. And like, yeah, right! That kind of, like, pushed me ahead for the week. And then he loses 3 yards on the next play and finishes with 99. And you're like,
well, that actually happened once, like, for real in the 70s. It was a Falcons running back whose name I can't remember. He was the first Falcon player ever to rush for 1,000 yards in the final game with a 14-game schedule. They stopped the game and did all this stuff and you know, congratulated him. And then they continued with the final drive, and he lost like 7 yards and finished under 1,000 yards for the season.
That is brutal. Oh, that's fantastic. All right, so what was your take? Let's start on the Titans side of things. When you watch the Titans and the Ravens, and I've admitted all day today, because of, you know, Clowney going on IR, no Roger Saffold, their left guard, and no Kenny Vaccaro, and the bodies were just dropping left and right for the Titans. I was like, they're just not going to find a way to win this game. They're going to lose, and yet they found a way to win the game in overtime.
Yeah, that was a big one, right? Because whoever lost that game I thought was in real trouble in the AFC, just because of the power structure that we're looking at. Obviously, Pittsburgh is still undefeated, and the Chiefs are the Chiefs. I mean, let's just be honest about it. And they're the best team until I think someone takes them down in the playoffs. So that was a really important game. And it showed two things. Two things stood out to me. And one of them is a byproduct of Tennessee, and one of them is a byproduct of Baltimore. So let's just start with the Tennessee side of it. Derrick Henry had 44 rushing yards on 18 attempts through the first three quarters. That's like 2.43 yards per carry. In the third quarter in overtime, he had 10 carries for 89 yards. You and I can do that math. That's 9 yards a carry. And we extrapolated a little further. Going back to 2019, the start of 2019, through postseason and everything, in the first half of games, he's amassed over 1,200 yards, 4.2 yards per carry, and 6 rushing touchdowns. In the second half and overtime of games, Derrick Henry, since the start of 2019, has rushed for over 1,800 yards. He's averaged 5.7 yards a carry and had 21 rushing touchdowns, which is a long mathematical way of saying physics matter, because it will wear your butt out trying to tackle a bear for four quarters. And that's what he is. He is a hammer, and if you just keep using the hammer, the tree is going to fall. And that's sort of the recipe that the Tennessee Titans have found to be very successful. And I know Tannehill is great, and they've been unbelievable in the red zone since he took over. I think second behind only Seattle percentage points-wise in terms of being the top cashing in on touchdowns in the red zone team in the NFL. But as Derrick Henry goes, the Titans go. And I think they're now 14-2 when he rushes for over 100 yards. And it's a remarkable thing to watch, because you can literally see him wearing the opposition down. So that was the one thing I took away from Tennessee.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, we've always heard about pitchers, you know, the pitcher, he gets stronger as the game goes along. Well, he is like that starting pitcher that truly gets better the deeper the game goes, right? He just seems to get better, as you just mentioned. You just laid out quite well that he's a guy that in the fourth quarter just takes over. He becomes a closer in the fourth quarter for the Titans.
Well, you know, it's very similar to what the Cowboys had with Emmitt Smith in the 90s. And they're not the same back in any way, shape, or form, but they were just going to wear on you until you tapped out. I mean, North Turner, when he was their offensive coordinator, used to say they're going to get a heavy dose of 22 until they show us they can stop it. And it's the same way with Derrick Henry. I mean, it adds up. And, you know, in most cases, it adds up on the running back because the guys tackling him are bigger. Well, in Derrick's case, it's about a push, and he's faster than most of those guys. I mean, you know, it's like watching a sledgehammer slowly chip away at something that you want flattened. Eventually, the sledgehammer is going to win.
All right, what was your I rudely interrupted you on the other point.
All good, brother.
Okay. Let's flip to the Ravens. We've talked a lot about Lamar Jackson, and this offense looks, you know, completely different than last year. Last year it was through 16 games of regular season. Can anybody slow this offense down? I mean, they just seem to score at will on everybody. Well, nobody's saying that this year. What's changed in your mind?
Well, look, a couple of things. First of all, they had a 10-point lead at one point Sunday, and that would be significant because for the first 21 games where Lamar Jackson was under center for the Ravens, at any point, if they had a 10-point lead, they won that game. They went 21-0. And now they've lost two of the last three times that's happened. Yesterday and week 8 against the Pittsburgh Steelers, which tells you a couple of things. One, we made everybody, and we did were a big part of this. Look at the balance of the Ravens offense last year. They're the first offense to average over 200 rushing yards and 200 passing yards a game, which is great. But they were averaging 237 passing, which is really low numbers in terms of the passing offense in the NFL, the way it's constructed and defended and officiated right now. And I kept saying, this is a fun number to play with, but at the end of the day, the Ravens are going to go as far as their passing game will take them because that's the game. That's the way it's legislated right now for the most part. And until they have more of a consistent downfield threat, and some of that could be the receivers that they drafted that haven't been turned out. Like Hollywood Brown had a great debut in his first couple of games last year and has been very average since. They're a tight end heavy offense when it comes to receptions. Until they find a more striking ability to make chunk plays through the passing game, you can be the world's greatest athlete out there. And Lamar Jackson might just be the best athlete in football. But if you're one-dimensional, you're one-dimensional, right? And I think that they've just been found out a little bit, and you're not going to be able to make those crazy joystick plays, especially if you have to come from behind a lot. They're also not really good when they fall behind. So, you know, the league will catch up on you. You can't ever say what worked last year is going to work for us in the same way this year. And I think that's the struggle for Baltimore. And they got real problems now because they got to play the Steelers again. And, you know, that game was so important for both the Ravens and Titans yesterday because, as you said, the Titans are playing the Colts next. That Colts team is no joke, man. I mean, they were down big time to Aaron Rodgers and company, and they essentially shut them out until a field goal sent it to overtime. And then the defense came up with a big play to essentially steal the game with the turnover.
Yep. And like you said, Thursday night, the triple header, the final game is going to be Baltimore in Pittsburgh to take on the undefeated Steelers. And so with that being said, I want to ask you why no one is talking about Ben Roethlisberger as the MVP this season. Like, it's been all Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes. You've even had some Kyler Murray talk. I feel like everybody's been throwing out names all season long. And if the Steelers go undefeated, I don't think they're going to go undefeated, but if they did or they went 15-1, or they finished the number one seed in the AFC. And you look at his numbers, oh, by the way, 24 touchdowns, 5 picks, in over 2,500 yards passing. Why isn't anyone talking about Big Ben? Traditionally, Trey, the MVP comes off the number one seed in a conference. Go look at the past MVPs.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And listen, there's two things about Ben that I think we need to address. First of all, it just shows you how important a quarterback is to your team. I am not a believer in wins and losses being a quarterback stat, but I do understand that they are incredible in manufacturing the opportunity for teams to win or lose games. It's essentially the same team with Chase Claypool. And the only other addition was they have Ben back instead of Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph. So that tells you how valuable he is to that franchise. And the other thing about the Steelers we need to address is that Mike Tomlin is the most underappreciated coach in football. 14 straight non-losing seasons to start his career. Only one other person did that. That was Marty Schottenheimer, who I also believe is criminally underrated as a head coach. He has over 200 wins. He should be in the Hall of Fame. But Mike Tomlin, I think, is finally getting the appreciation. They won 8 games last year with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph as their quarterback. You know, he found a way to get that team right again after the entire Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell fiasco for 2 years in a row, which was an absolute joke. Now, why isn't Ben getting the love? Because Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. Like, was there anybody who was watching that game last night when they had a minute 43 left, didn't think that the Chiefs were at least going to tie the game or maybe win it? There was no doubt in my mind. I mean, yep. Derek Carr played amazingly last night. He played as well as any quarterback could play, and he did the thing. He led his team down to take the lead with under 2 minutes to go in a ballgame. As a quarterback, that's check. You know, I did my job, and then he had to sit and watch Patrick Mahomes do that thing. Patrick Mahomes has 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. The only 2 interceptions have both come against games against the Raiders. Not playing them anymore. You know, I think he's going to finish with 40-plus touchdowns and under 5 interceptions. And that's why I believe Ben isn't getting the love, because that guy might be the best to ever do it when it's all said and done.
We're talking to Trey Wingo, talking some NFL. Trey, you had a great story earlier. I went back and looked because I remember seeing something on NFL Films. I just Googled it. Dave Hampton is the running back.
Yes.
Dave 1972 Hampton, for the Falcons, yeah. Who hit 1,000. He was the first ever Falcon to hit 1,000. They stopped the game. They had a great presentation. And then it was like an icy game, and he lost 6 on the next play and never got back to 1,000. He ended up with 995 for the season.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. That's one of my all-time favorite stories.
That's a great story. So along those lines, not that particular case, but we were talking a lot about Derrick Henry. One thing we discuss a lot, Trey, is you want to have that sledgehammer, as you call it, available every week. And it does exact a toll, right, yeah. Over time. And so managing the carries and the workload is going to be very important. And, you know, they've done a pretty good job of it, but he's going to end up with more carries than he's ever had in a season by the end of it if he stays healthy. So what's the balance in your mind? How do you approach that when you know you're tempted to give him the ball every play?
Yeah, and to your point, I think that showed up in the AFC Championship game last year, right? Because he had the amazing numbers against the Patriots and then the phenomenal game against the Ravens. Okay, so now you have to do that 3 weeks in a row, on the road, traveling. You're all beat to a pulp at that time of the year. And I think it just finally caught up with him in that game against Kansas City, even though they had a double-digit lead twice in that game. Look, Vrabel is really good at this, and I think that they'll figure out a way to make it work, and Arthur Smith will as well. But you're right. He gives you the best chance to win, but you want to make sure that there's something left by the time the playoffs roll around. And you can't hope to just, well, we'll get to the playoffs and then we'll use him. So you have to use him. But there are situations where you can say, are we up 10? Can we do something else? Can we make sure? By the way, can I just say the other thing that I took away from yesterday's game? I am here for any Ole Miss wide receiver because they love the contact. That touchdown by A.J. Brown was phenomenal. I mean, you know, everybody loves DK Metcalf, and they should, and I get it. But that guy is a workhorse, man, and I think he doesn't get the love he should. Everyone looks at DK and the speed and the body. A.J. Brown's no slouch, man. And I just think they need to find a way to make sure when they can to spell him. But at the end of the day, you're going to use the guy until he says, I can't go anymore. And it may just be a situation where hopefully they don't have to play, you know. Well, look, it's going to be that way this year because only one team's going to get the bye. I mean, only one team's going to get the bye. So I don't think it's going to change any much this year. And hell, we may have 8 teams from each conference, depending on, you know, how we go through the final 6-7 weeks of the season here. depending on what happens. So I don't know if there's anything you can do about it at this point, because you got to dance with what got you there, and a large part of that is that large human being.
At this time of the year, and you've already referenced it a couple of times, Trey, a lot of teams are dealing with a lot of injuries. The Titans, we scrutinize every guy. We know what each guy means. We don't know by heart all of the injuries to all the other teams. I'm curious, in your mind, covering the league, does it seem like there are more injuries this year because of the circumstances, or is this just something that happens every year and we're just never, it never ceases to amaze us, and we always lament when a guy like Joe Burrow goes down, or you've got a team that's missing three offensive linemen, et cetera. Does that happen every year, or is it more this year?
I think there's a little more of it this year, because remember, there was no offseason, right? There was none. And through the first few weeks of training camp, they were wearing those apps that said, you're 6 feet away. You know, you're not 6 feet away. Get away from me, Satan. You know, I mean, there's no other way to prepare for football than to play football. And what's interesting is that we didn't have any preseason games. We had minimal contact at camp. And I think that's showing up on some degree. And the lack of a real offseason, I think, is the story behind this more than anything else. Because you talk to anybody that played, you know, you get through the season, you're in January or early February. You just need February and March to sort of let your body just get back to normal. And then those mini camps start, and these OTAs start in late April and early May. And they're not much, but they're something. And the conditioning process begins, and the whole cycle starts to repeat itself. We had none of that this year. And obviously with the outbreak, it always makes it seems a little more interesting, because, you know, like the Raiders last night had 10 guys on defense that couldn't practice because of either they had COVID or they were exposed to someone that they thought was a high contact risk. So they did it all virtually. It's hard enough to play Patrick Mahomes if you have everybody, but you take 10 guys away. By the way, the Joe Burrow thing, good Lord, that you could see on the replay. I watched it once. I won't watch it again. You see his knee pop out of location and then back into location on the play. It was just ugly. So I think it's a part of the attrition of the game, but it does seem like because of nothing was normal in the lead up to this year, that I think we're getting a little higher hit rate on injuries.
What have the Colts figured out? Because Phillip Rivers, the week of the first Titans matchup, was really under a lot of fire. The offense wasn't doing anything, and he's answered the bell, picked the Titans apart, had a nice game yesterday against the Packers, and then, of course, the rematch with the Titans. So what have they figured out? What has Frank Reich done?
Well, first of all, they are, in a lot of ways, up front built like the Titans, right? Their offensive line, their lines of scrimmage are great. Their defensive front and their offensive front are great. And they found a little bit of a combination that's working for them in Nyheim Hines and Jonathan Taylor. Now, the vertical game has been sort of hit and miss, right? It's been there at times, and it hasn't there at times. T.Y. Hilton has not had the best season by his standards in any way, shape, or form. But much like Tennessee, they're one of the most physical football teams in football, which is a redundant thing to say. I'll just say they're one of the most physical football teams. And, you know, that wore down Green Bay yesterday. I mean, Green Bay was up big time, and they took that punch, and they came back in the second half and said, you had your turn, now it's our turn. It's like those slap fight videos from Europe that come across. You know? Those two guys stand there, and someone slaps you across the face, and you think you got him, and he's standing there smiling, and then he hits you, and suddenly you're looking down, and three teeth are missing. So I think that's what Indianapolis is. They're not complicated. They're not, you know, schematically crazy. They just line up and want to punch you in the face, and they're really good at it.
They are indeed. Trey, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you for your time, as always, and we'll see what unfolds in the next chapter of this season.
Yeah, it'll be great. Can't wait, guys. Anytime.
All right, Trey,
Dave
Wingo.
Hampton. Can't Dave get Hampton. Stories like that anywhere.
Yep, that's good stuff. We'll always remember Dave Hampton here. All right, Darren. You've got another word one more time about DraftKings.
Indeed I do. This is a big sports week. Big sports week. Don't forget there's still action tonight. You've got a good game in the Rams and the Bucks on Monday Night Football. But triple header on Thursday. DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is going to give all players the opportunity to take advantage of that triple header, because the final game is the Ravens, the team the Titans just beat in Pittsburgh, to take on the Steelers. And they're going to give you a chance to double your money if either Baltimore or Pittsburgh score a touchdown in Thursday night's game. All it takes is for you to double your money is one touchdown. That's it. All you have to do is opt into the promotion, place your bet, and then sit back and watch the ball enter the end zone. On top of that, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering all new players a deposit bonus up to $1,000. All you have to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app, use the promo code 1025GAME when you sign up, and get this can't-miss offer. Once again, that code 1025GAME. Do this during the sign-up process for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Bonus comprised of first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. See DraftKings.com Sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.